Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Famous faces are the stuff Hollywood is made of, but famous voices? They are fewer, but perhaps more memorable. And many of today's most famous voices come from the world of animated comedy. Think Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy, or basically the entire cast of The Simpsons. There's another voice that's a nightly presence on the animated TV landscape. He's H. John Benjamin, and he's been on everything from Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist, to Family Guy and Space Ghost. Benjamin is currently the voice of Sterling Archer on the FX network's spy spoof, Archer. And he's also the eponymous Bob Belcher on Fox's Bob's Burgers. And in this clip, Bob is about to take his enthusiastic family out on a special trip.
I'm ready! Let's go!
Why do you have two bottles of wine?
What? It's a wine train.
Ooh, you guys going on the wine train?
You get the wine on the train, Lynn. You don't have to bring it. Otherwise, it would be just called a train.
Right.
Lynn, you're sure kids are allowed on this thing?
It says right here on the brochure, kids are allowed.
It says kids are allowed, but not welcome.
Like in the health and sexuality section at the bookstore.
Where's Gene?
He's picking out his outfit.
I'm gonna be Boxcar Gene.
Gene, why do you look like Dexy from Dexy's Midnight Runners?
Because we're going on a train.
Well, go put a shirt on.
Next thing you're gonna be telling me to go put on underwear.
Put on underwear.
Okay.
H. John Benjamin will be appearing tonight at the Sinclair in Cambridge as part of the Eugene Merman Comedy Festival. His show is called Wicked Local. This is the kind of awful title someone would give to a comedy show that features comedians who live or have lived in Boston. H. John Benjamin, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I want to know who came up with the full title for your Wicked Local show that's going to happen.
That would be Eugene Merman, I believe, who runs the festival. That was, I assume, his idea.
Well, it's a great idea because it's been making me giggle all day just looking at the title of it. But it does raise this interesting question. You two are from Massachusetts, though maybe not Boston proper originally. Tell us what it was like growing up here and how much of your comedy comes from being a Massachusetts native.
Well, I grew up in Worcester, so that's a much different atmosphere than Boston. Mainly, I grew up Jewish, so that informs my comedy probably more than anything else. You know, I was in the minority where I grew up. So being a bit of an outsider was a big part of how I developed a sense of humor. But that being said, I was also very short, so that was also an issue. And, you know, those two things led to, I think, if anything else, a defensive attitude toward life. And, you know, and that became funny.
I'm still curious to know a little bit more about, you know, your early years in comedy, because you started your career on the club circuit in Boston at the tender age of 24, right?
I did, yeah. And I kind of dabbled a little bit more than I was driven to be a comedian. I developed very slowly into comedy and, you know, getting on the animated show, it kind of sped up the process a bit, but it's still a work in progress.
In an interview that you did or an article that I read about you, it called you one of the most successful actors on TV that no one would actually recognize on the street because of all the work that you're doing right now.
By virtue of being in a lot of animated shows, obviously I'm not particularly recognizable. And I don't go around just loudly talking everywhere I go.
Well, you got a really big break when you were given the role of Ben in Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist. And it's actually, you know, even watching the episodes of that show today, it's in a way, it's hard to believe that was, what, a couple decades ago, nearly 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in, 94 or something. Or
wow. That. Well, we've got actually a little bit of tape from the opening scene of the very first episode of Dr. Katz. So here it is.
Dad, the problem is there's just no work right now in my chosen field.
You still, let me see if I have this right. You want to be a daredevil?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to be a daredevil. And
do you read
I don't
the want ads, Ben? Do you read them?
Yeah, of course I read the want ads, Dad. I read them every day.
And
what exactly is a Gal Friday?
That's not for you. What do you look under exactly when you read the ads? What category do you look just under daredevil?
Okay, Dad.
Ben, where are you going?
I'm going back to bed.
I love it to this day.
Yeah, I hear a hopeful voice And now look at me. Listen to me. This forlorn melancholy. You know, I laughed. It was a funny show, and it was really fun to do. We did do the show in a kitchen for about 2 years. So
that's where you recorded the show?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't talk into a ladle, but they had a microphone. But, it really was bare bones. And there was no presence of any sort of television industry. You know what I mean? Like the network we made the show for, I don't think I had met anyone who worked at that network for 2 years. I don't know if they just avoided Watertown or they just sort of never showed up. So we were really making it in a bubble. And that was a very good thing.
Take us a little bit into what it's like, because the episodes, take out the commercials, they're 22 minutes long. How much time does it actually take, though, to lay down all the tracks and all the voice roles for a show like Bob's Burgers?
On the whole, it probably takes between 4 and 6 hours to record one full episode.
I'm just curious about how much of yourself and your ideas do you get to inject into let's just stick with Bob's Burgers for a little while.
Well, a lot less than a show like Dr. Katz, where I think we would a lot of times work from an outline and then sort of work out from that. And that would involve a lot of improv and kind of talking back and forth and a huge burden for the editor, because I think oftentimes you would sometimes record 20 minutes of dialogue to pare it down to 2 minutes for a scene. That's a lot. It's a lot more efficient with Bob's Burgers because the scripts are more integral to the process, I think, and there's a lot less improv.
Mm-hmm. So is it even more sort of streamlined with a show like Archer, where I guess there's basically just one writer, right? Adam Reed.
Yes, Archer is completely unique in that respect. I mean, I don't know. It's very different from Bob's Burgers. Yes, that's totally streamlined. I work alone like I'm doing right now. I'm alone in a booth and I read my lines, and that's about it. So that's entirely different. We do that with Bob's Burgers as well. We read the lines, but there's a lot more sort of straying off. But on the whole, we're kind of playing off what's written. Would be the best way to describe it. We're not sort of conceiving anything.
We've got one of the more absurdest moments from the last season of Archer, where Archer, the role that you play, and his mother's boyfriend, Ron, are being chased by some murderous bad guys.
And obviously, this was all due to the butterfly effect.
The what?
Butterfly effect. You know, a butterfly in Africa lands on a giraffe's nose, the giraffe sneezes, that spooks a gazelle, the gazelle bonks into a rhinoceros, and the rhinoceros blindly stampedes into a phone booth, calls New York somehow, and says, "Hey, go kill this idiot Ron for a suitcase because the rhinoceros speaks English!" What's in the suitcase, Ron?
So for people who don't know Archer, the show's in its fifth season, and you play Sterling Archer, who's a spy for a private spy firm. But this season, there's been a really big departure on the show, and the characters end up as drug dealers, essentially. And this storyline has lasted the entire season. I mean, what kind of reaction have you had from fans, or what was your own reaction when you saw that this was the direction that the show was going to go?
Adam Reed, the creator of the show, told me about it, although he didn't tell me the whole story. So I thought it was going to be good no matter what. It seems pretty much everything he writes is very good. So I trusted him. I wouldn't have said, this is outrageous and I will not do this. So it was still pretty much the same show in its essence, about a bunch of very corrupt people bickering.
Well, I'm curious, do you think you're going to keep plowing ahead with all this great voice work that you're doing, or are there other sort of avenues that you'd want to take your work down in the future?
There's a confidence in what I do now, and that's a good feeling. I didn't ever expect to be doing ever exclusively one thing, so yeah, I would hope to branch out a little bit in the future and maybe do more different kinds of work. I don't know what that would be, but maybe it would involve woodworking.
Well, H. John Benjamin will be at the Sinclair in Cambridge in a show called Wicked Local. This is the kind of awful title someone would give to a comedy show that features comedians who live or have lived in Boston. Still think it's one of the greatest show titles ever. H. John Benjamin, thanks so much for talking with us. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, in a moment, we'll go to China with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.